Corinthians chapter number 7, and we're going to read one verse this morning. We're going to be done and moving forward. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. If you found your place and you're able, I would ask you to stand for the reading and reverence of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. We've been over this same verse so many times, and we're going to conclude out of it this morning. I want you to look in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God." Amen. Amen. If you'll think back over the past several weeks as we have been into this and we have studied this, we started off with some promises to the believers. We've also covered this morning some promises Wednesday night as we begin to look into that, some promises for the future and promises that we're dealing with. And I'll say this to you this morning, I'm glad that God's true and faithful. Amen. And I'm glad that God's not capable of lying. Now, I want to make something sure this morning. Man will fail you. I can make you a promise. And sometimes some of you men this morning, if you'll be real honest, some of you ladies this morning, you've promised to do something and something happened. And maybe you forgot to do it, or maybe you forgot about it. Or maybe it just slipped your mind that you had committed to do something and you've broke that promise. Now, if we'll be real honest this morning, we're all human, and there's times that we don't keep what we say we're going to keep. There's times when maybe we've told a lie that we were going to do something, we didn't do it, so that represents a lie. But I'm glad this morning God's not capable of lying. And I'm thankful this morning as a child of His that this 66 book Bible, this King James Bible that you're holding, I'm thankful this morning there's not a word in there that God said that He didn't mean. And there's not a word in there that God can't keep. Everything that is written down is from God's throne room through His darling Son. And God is able to keep all that He promised. Every word that He said. And listen, you say, "Well, preacher, there's some things in there that God just ain't done." Listen, I'll say this to you. This is a living book, and there's some prophecy that's yet to be fulfilled. But I assure you that God is more than capable of concluding what God's Word says and finishing what God has started. Now, as we come into 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, as we said Wednesday night, was trying to stir the church at Corinth up. He was bringing back some things to remembrance. It does us good to remember some things that God has said. It does us good to reflect on some things that God has done. And I'll say this to you, there's times where we get down and out, we get discouraged, we get upset, we get bothered, and we think that God ain't doing anything. Listen to me, I'm thankful that I'm not where I was at 10 years ago, amen? I'm thankful I'm not where I was at 6 months ago. I'm thankful I'm not where I was at 3 years ago, Brother David. I'm thankful that God has brought us out of some things, and God has brought us through some things, and I'm thankful for that. So he was stirring the remembrance up at the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians, and he says, "Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." Now I'll say this to you this morning, God ain't never changed. God ain't never sinned. God ain't never walked astray. Listen, I'm thankful this morning that God found me. You ever heard anybody say, "I'm thankful I found Jesus"? Listen to me, Jesus never got lost. He didn't need directions. He didn't need nobody point him anywhere. You say, "Well, preacher, I found him." No, listen to me. He found you in your place of sin, and he saved you. You just invited him in. He knew exactly where you was at, and he knew exactly when to come by, and Jesus saved you. You didn't find him. He found you as a sinner in need of a Savior. I'll say this to you, as Paul was writing about this, he was doing it out of love. He was doing it out of admonition to the people of Corinth. He said, "Let us cleanse ourselves." He said, "Let us clothe and get ourselves right." I'll say this, and we're going to move forward this morning. We need to realize that sin is still sin. Amen. And we need to realize this morning, Brother David, that we're all sinners. Amen. And all have come short of the glory of God. And we need to realize that daily we sin, and we need to be forgiven, and we need repentance, and we need to get right. I'll say this, it's not popular preaching in the year 2018, but repentance is the only way through salvation. And we still need to repent on a daily basis, because we get filthy and we get sinful and we cause separation between the relationship of our spirit through God. And Paul is telling the church at Corinth, he said, let us cleanse our flesh and our spirit.
That's right.
Can I say this to you this morning? God has not given us the spirit of discouragement. Do you know that? God has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of sadness. But He's given us a spirit of what? He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the spirit of fear, of a reverence toward Him. He gave us the spirit of joy. He gave us the spirit of peace. He gave us the spirit of happiness. You say, well, preacher, is that all in the Bible? Boy, I tell you what, when you get living right, God begins to work in your life, you can't help but smile out of joy through the Spirit. But I'll say this to you this morning. Paul had the understanding that there was filth in the flesh. And Brother Robert, whether you realize this or not, your flesh is drawn to sin. Your flesh is drawn to the wicked things of this world. Our flesh is drawn to those things that make us feel good. Amen. And you take somebody and eat all day, and you put out, I'll just say this, I told Timmy, we were sitting in the sound booth, we was talking about Friday night. I want to say this, thank you to the men that came over. All you men were invited, and we had a good time. The kids played. Brooklyn run about 24 miles in my backyard. She was just running circles, and Preston running, and Kinley, and Lexi and Savannah, they were having a good time, and there was a lot of hot dogs got cooked. And when we cleaned up that night, they was like, five or six hot dogs, it was all left. And I couldn't help but remember, I thought one of them, I can't throw them all away, so I must sacrifice it and make sure that it doesn't get thrown away, so I eat it again. You say, what happened? There was some eating went on. Never seen my daddy. I'm really, Brother Bill, I'm worried about my daddy with this surgery. Most Baptist preachers, when you drag out a watermelon, will stay till it gets eat. He had to leave when the watermelon started getting cut. And I'll say this, but we've got to be careful. Boy, if you go without a meal all day, you'll sit down and splurge yourself into more than you should eat. Your eyes get real big. And boy, you really get hungry. We've got to be careful. The flesh wants to enjoy and to feel good and to feel fed. And we've got to be careful, because that will cost us our blessings and our promises with God. It will cost us. So we must be careful. We must guard what our eyes see. We must guard what our ears hear. We must guard what our mouth speaks. And we must guard what this wicked tongue will start a fire that we cannot take. We must be careful what our flesh does. But notice what he says. He said, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now, I'll say this. Do you realize that our spirit is also a battle with our flesh? And if we do not get our spirit in the right place, listen to me, if our spirit ain't in the right place, and our soul ain't in the right place, and our heart ain't in the right place, you realize that can cost our relationship and our promises with God? He said to make ourselves clean. He said not only that, he said, but perfecting holiness and the fear of God. We are to perfect holiness. Why? By living holy. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And we are to strive daily to be holy. Now, I've got just about 3 points, and we're going to be done talking about the promises of God. Can I say number one to you this morning? One of the promises of God is that flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Either by the way of the rapture or by the way of the grave, there's going to be a separation of this flesh and the spirit. Flesh cannot go into the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Flesh cannot inherit those things and cannot walk down that street of God. Flesh cannot be in the presence of God. Why? Because flesh is sin. There must come a separation. How can that separation come? We have the promise of death or the rapture. Bible teaches us that it's appointed for once man to die, and after this, the judgment. One of the promises that we are looking at in thankfulness for Adam and Eve in the garden is that we are all destined to die. That's a promise. You can take that to the bank. Our only hope is that Christ steps out on those eastern skies and calls the church out. That is our only hope. And you say, well, preacher, what are these promises you're going over this morning? These are the final promises of God. We're all going to die. You're not going to escape it. Don't care how young you are. Don't care how old you are. Don't care what kind of skin you've got. Don't care who your mama or your daddy or your grandma or your grandpa is. We're all promised to die. No, we're promised to die. We're promised to face God. Small child, young adult, teenager, young married, middle-aged, seniors, wherever you classify yourself. I can't help you this morning, but tell you this much. Is your promise to die, and what's your promise to die? Your promise to face God. You're going to see Him face to face. Bible teaches boys man out after this, the judgment. So immediately at closing your eyes here, you will face God. Can I say this to you this morning? You're going to give an account. Whether they've been good deeds or bad, you're going to give account of everything that's been done in the flesh. You say, well, preacher, what about those sins I was forgiven of before I came to the saving grace of Christ? Those sins are cast as far as the east is west. But you're still going to give account how you conducted your life after you got saved. That's why there's rewards to win and crowns to win. And that's how you can lose those crowns. You must understand that judgment is coming. That is a promise. That Christ will set His kingdom up. We understand that there's different judgments. There's the Bema seat of Christ or the judgment seat of Christ. Let me put it like that. And you have the great white throne judgment. There are different judgments. And the great white throne judgment is all when hell is called up. And all from the sea and all those in places. And they are called up for the eternal separation. You say, what about the judgment seat of Christ? That is where those who are saved are judged. I'll say this to you this morning. You are promised that you're going to die. You're also promised judgment. And you say, well, preacher, my daddy was a preacher. Maybe God will let me by. No, every man gives an account.
That's right.
Amen. Preacher, are you saying that I've got to stand before a holy God and give an account on my life? You sure do. I do too. And I promise you this, Brother James, there's going to be things in my life that I'm ashamed of that I've done. That I have failed Him. That, Miss Jolene, that I could have done better. Or I could have done more. There are things that I'm going to give account of. Can I say not only is there a promise of death, there's a promise of judgment, but there's a promise of hell or heaven.
Right. Absolutely.
You say, well, preacher, what if I've been good? No. No, we're going to cover this. There's a promise of hell or heaven. Hell is for those who do not believe or accept Christ as their Savior. Hell is designed, listen to me, not for those, but hell was designed for the devil and his angels who rebelled on God.
Right.
It was never meant for mankind.
Right.
You know how I know it was not meant for mankind? Because if you think about the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was begging at Father Abraham to send somebody back. Tell them not to come to this place. Tell them not to come where I'm at. Tell them not to be in this place. He said, for I'm tormented in this flame. He was just wanting Lazarus to come over and dip his finger in water and put it on his tongue for a temporal relief of the hell. He said, send them back. Send Lazarus back. Send somebody back. Moses said, they have the prophets. Or Abraham said, they have the prophets. Hell was not designed for mankind. You say, well, preacher, how could a holy God, if it's not designed for mankind, it was designed for the devil and his angels, and that was where they were cast out. Why does God send man there? Do you realize this morning God never sent a man there? You choose it. You choose where you go. God has given us free will, which is amazing. God does not force anybody to worship Him. Some of you say, when you get up on Sunday morning, I have to go to church. God never forces you to go to church.
Right.
He urges you and He encourages you, but God does not force you to live right. God does not force you to get saved. God does not force you to do things that are right. God does not force you to read your Bible. God does not force you to pray. It is all through free will. Do you realize? I'll say this to you. You can drink as much as you want. You can smoke as much as you want. You can dope as much as you want. But if you get saved, somehow deep within inside of you, and God puts a new creature, when you get born again, you choose and don't want to do those things. God gives us free will. Brother Odin, when I got born again, God didn't take my face and say, I'm going to kill you if you don't get saved. Although, Brother Kenny, I felt like I was going to die under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. But he never forced me, Brother Robert, to get saved. He doesn't force me to go to church. He does not force me to pray. He does not force me to live right. I choose what I do. And can I say this to you? You choose heaven or you choose hell. Jesus give you the opportunity to be born again. He give you all that you need to choose to get to heaven. But it's up to you. And see, he promises of a place called heaven. John chapter 14 teaches us that he's gone to prepare a place. What is that place? That's that place in Revelation chapter 21. That he describes, that he talks about after the great white throne judgment when the eternal separation has been ended. And he talks about this place called heaven. And he talks about this place descending from heaven down on the New Jerusalem. And he talks about it. That's heaven. Somebody asked me this week, they said, "Preacher, said, do you believe that when so-and-so dies here and they go through the judgment, because they know that if they die, they go through the judgment, that they're walking on a street of gold? Do you believe that after judgment, they walk on a street of gold?" And I said, "How can I? That's after everything is passed." "Well, what do you think heaven's going to be like?" I said, "Well, Dad, and this is the only way I can look at it." I said, "If you read in Luke chapter 16, the rich man of Lazarus, Lazarus was comforted in Abraham's bosom, right?" And I said, "This is the best explanation of what I could give heaven to you." I said, "Comfort. No worries, no heartaches, no pains, no troubles, no trials." I said, "The best way I can put this, Matthew, for us to understand, is Jesus is still working on a place for us." And the Apostle Paul told the in the book of Thessalonians, he said to the church of Thessalonica, he said, "Concerning them which are asleep." I said, "The best way I can understand about when the Spirit leaves here just to be with Christ is heaven enough in itself." I said, "My greatest comfort is when I go to bed." Don Vesta would shout this morning. If Don was here, he would shout. You say, "What do you mean when you go to bed?" How many, when you go to bed and you get warm and you go to sleep and you're drifting off to sleep, do you worry about anything? Do you fret on anything? You're comforting. I know, Brother Chuck, when Dad was in the pain, and that, and he'd hit that little button on that pump down there at Iredell Hospital. He would be talking about how bad it hurt. And he'd hit that little button. And here in about 30 seconds, he'd go, and it was gone. No more hurt, no more pain. How many of you in the mornings you struggle to get out of the bed? Let's be honest. You just don't want to get up. Some of you say, "Oh, my back killing me. I've got to get up." Well, bless your heart. I don't want you to enjoy one moment of what I enjoy. It's warmth. There's comforting. There's no heartaches. There's no pain. And how many of the mornings knowing you got to get up to go to work and say, "Oh, I don't want to get up." Because you know you're inflicting pain, huh? You're going to be going to work. You're going to be doing that stuff. So what is heaven? To me, as I read about Lazarus and I studied on that, heaven to me is comfort. It's rest. It's strength. It's being in a place of no worries and being conscious, because for one little bit during your night, you're not conscious to the world of this pain. You're somewhere in between. You're somewhere in another realm. To be conscious of God the Father, God the Spirit, and all those who are around. And as Stephen looked up, he seen the Son of God standing on the right hand of the Father in the throne room. I'm not going to have my glorified body yet, because that's going to happen when the rapture. That's going to happen later. But to be in his presence, Brother Jeff, is heaven enough. Because Lazarus was comforted. And the rich man could see across the great gulf and could see and knew who he was. Knew where he had been. But that rich man knew exactly who Lazarus was. Can I say this to you? I believe we'll be known as we are known. But he could see him. And can you imagine? The Bible teaches the angels rejoice over a soul getting saved.
Amen.
Can you imagine the Son of God, out of the book of Zephaniah, on the right hand of the Father, dancing over one getting born again, and the angels singing the song of the rejoicing and the redeemed singing, not the saints, but the angels singing, because they don't even know what salvation is when they call out another one got saved. They, some of our family that's done gone over, has seen some of their grandchildren get saved or heard and seen the rejoicing. So what is heaven? Heaven is perfect.
Amen.
And what I can tell you about perfect is you and I can't go because we're not perfect. But we can go through Christ. What else, preacher, is there promises of? There's promises that Jesus is coming again. Preacher, how do you know that? If you go before I do, I want to give you this, 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Right.
Teaches the book of Thessalonians that He's coming back. But we've got a promise that God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven. He wants everybody under the sound of my voice to be able to go to heaven. And His promises, Brother David, He's made the way. He'll do everything He can to get you there. He's made the way. He's gave His Son. He's paid the price. He's got the ticket. And said He's not willing that any should perish. That everybody is going to have a time to get saved. But here's the promise. God can do all that. And God's true and God's faithful and God never chooses to do wrong. And God gives us all that. But some of you say, well, preacher, why has God let this happen? Why has God let that happen? Let me ask you a question. Why have you done what you've done? God's been true and faithful in all that He's done. Well, preacher, why could God let this happen? And why could God let that happen? Why have you done what you've done to God? But my question to you is, got all these promises. Do you choose Him and all that He says He is? Or do you choose yourself? Because if you fail to choose God, you choose yourself over God. Brother Odin, I believe it bothers our Lord and Savior to see somebody die and go to hell. I really believe in the bottom of my heart for somebody to go out of judgment into hell. And then knowing that later on they're going to be called up from hell and death, hell, and the grave is going to be cast into the lake of fire. I truly believe it bothers God. Because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repent. So you have a promise. God's done everything He can do. The problem is, what are you going to do? What do you choose? Do you choose Christ? Or do you choose yourself? Do you choose the enjoyment of flesh? Or do you choose the Spirit? That I can't understand what's on the other side. Never seen it. Don't know how it happens. I've watched that paranormal stuff, Brother David. There's some wicked things in this world. I mean, it wasn't the devil, Dad, if I read correctly. It was not the devil in the swine, but it was devils, demons. There were many of them that run those swine off the cliffs. So they were here on the earth. There's some supernatural things going around you and I that we cannot see. That God's put a little bit of blinders on us. I mean, can you imagine, and Miss Marie, I was thinking about this, can you imagine those demons in the book of Job as the devil came walking to and fro on the earth and the sons of God were gathered there. And he said, have you tried my servant Job? And to see how he lost his family. You know, the devil and the demons had to be behind that. Could you just could you just imagine the war that was going on in the spiritual realm that we could not see? The fire and winds and the armies. I mean, and the demons that was working. They're still here today. I'm going to tell you, they're still here today. And for just a little while, you've come into God's house, into God's sanctuary. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's some churches you go in that people bring the demons and the devil right into the house of God with them. Where they fight. My prayer is that it stays on the outside. Because I know for just a little while we can be in God's presence and feel His touch and feel His Holy Spirit. There ought not be any rifts. But just know for a little while, but when we go right back out there, He's going to be waiting. Those demons are going to be waiting to attach themselves to you, to harass you. Is that preacher? Who do you choose? I choose the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave.
That's right. Amen.
I choose the one who conquered hell, who defeated the devil. Yes. I choose Him.
Amen.
Because His angels, if the devil's here, His angels are here fighting for you and I. Psalms record the angels encamp about around us, protecting us. Who do you choose? Heads bowed and eyes closed as Miss Jody comes.